Hello, everyone. Just a content warning before we get back into True Crit Undead Nightmare. This episode does feature graphic depictions of violence, and much of it is against Strahd's hounds, his wolves. So if you find that kind of content disturbing and do not want to continue, I would advise you to skip this week. You are about to enter another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of dice and imagination. A journey into the wondrous land of Thorum. Next up, True Crit, Undead Nightmare. And then we'll get into it. Joining me today for this very special, very spooky event, we have our wonderful players appearing as the level 10 College of Lore Bard, Garl. Blake Francis, give us a fine hello, howdy, how do you do?
Hello, howdy, how do you do? I'm Blake. I'm playing Garl. It's been a... really excited to see how this all plays out, and yeah, happy to be here, happy to be able to take part.
I'm afraid to say I've talked to a fortune teller, and Garl dies a vicious death in this episode.
Wow. Probably. I mean, it makes sense. It fits.
Also, peering through the mists of time to just this moment, right now, maybe 5 seconds in the future, will be greeting us with a fine hello, howdy, how do you do? Theodora McGillicuddy, our good friend Gwyneth Benson.
Hello, howdy, how do you do? I'm Gwyneth. I am prepared to die as Theodora today. I think it would be cool if she made it, but it'd be cool if she died too. I'll make it fun.
I will let you both know that the only way you will get out of this alive is if you kill Derek Lackeye. Derek Lackeye, played by our resident DM, our oldest, truest player, in the broadest sense of the word, Mark Garkucha. Mark, hello, howdy, how do you do?
Jordan Gwiazdowski, thank you for that lovely introduction. I am old, and I am here, and you can't kill Derek if he kills you first.
With all that being said, let me ask you all a question, and don't take this too seriously, so we don't need to dig in real deep into, you know, the things beyond, but what's one thing that, like, you've been scared of since you were a kid, and just, like, you're kind of still scared of today? I will say that darkness beyond large glass windows, like if I'm hanging out in the woods or something and there's a large window and there's just like darkness beyond it, I always imagine like a hand pressing up against
big
it.
Big time, big know. Time. You gotta close those curtains.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 35 years old. I should get over that.
It's scary though, so...
It is.
I'll follow up on that because I think mine kind of dovetails into that a little bit. Also, because it's like it's a primal thing. That's like our ancestral memory, primate brain is like dark. What's out there? We don't know. It's scary. So you're right to be scared. You know?
You're right to be scared.
There's no telling what lies beyond that dark pane of glass, my friend. When I was a kid, we had a pool in our backyard, and those things aren't cheap. And I would not go in the deep end at night. I didn't even like being close to the drop off into the deep end at night. Because I thought that, you know, a shark could come out of the deep end and, you know, get me if I was standing too close to the deep end. And this, like, infuriated my father because, you know, he spent all this money to have an in-ground pool and then his 17-year-old son wouldn't go... I wasn't 17. I was, like, 9. But that's still too old, probably, to be that scared. But that's the kind of esoteric thing that I was scared of. The dark unknown, but also werewolves. Very scared of werewolves. And whenever I was a child and my mom would say, they're not real, Mark. Werewolves aren't real. I would say that is literally the beginning of every movie with a monster in it, is someone telling the person that it's not real. Like, that you're not helping, you're making it worse. Just let me have a gun with silver bullets in it.
Well, I'll say you're going to love the start of this episode.
Is there a werewolf?
I'll also
say, is there a werewolf in the deep end of a pool? Because that would be too much.
Yeah. To jump off of the into the deep end, or off of your deep end suggestion, the ocean, dark, the deepest end, the original pane of glass, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah. I will not. I would never get off of a boat and swim in the middle of the ocean.
No, it's not for us. We don't belong there.
I'm writing down the ocean, colon, the deepest end. I don't know why yet, but that's important.
Blake, Gwyneth, do we have a...
I was just thinking about the fact that, like, I've only just now at 34 years old sort of become more afraid of home invaders and, like, real life murderers than, like, goblins and ghoulies. Like, every time I've been home alone until now, it's been like, there's ghosts in my house, not like someone is going to break in. And I'm finally starting to turn that corner into realism in my fears instead of fantastical ideas creeping in.
Gwyneth, I asked you not to get real. Yeah, I'm really scared of, like, you know, real people. The person next door to me, you know? I'm just afraid.
Not as scared of it as I was of ghosts and, you know, the general unknown.
I'm afraid of walking home alone at night.
I always have, like, felt like I should be more afraid than I am walking home alone at night. I am very cavalier about walking alone.
You're a very tough cookie.
Well, yeah, I stomp around. I am aware of my surroundings, and I put on my mean face, and then I feel like it's okay.
Is there a meaner face than the one that we normally see?
Do you find that you have to stomp around more and make more noise to scare away bears now that you live in the country?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a joke about, like, big hairy gay guys, but I want to attract them.
Yeah. Who wants to scare them? Not me.
Blake, what are you afeard of?
Ooh, of never being understood, I guess. Like, never being, like, because I don't know, I like to write stuff, so I guess it's never being able to come across like I want to. Like, always being, like, so close, but never getting, like, the actual... what I want to cross. I guess that'd be the fear.
True dread. Just really, I was like, let's keep it light. And we started with werewolves. We went to home invaders. And then we went to the existential dread of never being understood. Oh, boy. And now that chill has run down my spine. And with all that, I think it's time to get into True Crit. Undead Nightmare. How's everybody feeling?
Woo.
Well, now I'm scared.
Scared now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to exploit all of these fears as much as I can. We are back in Ravenloft Manor. We go a few minutes before we ended the last session. We are, once again, in the dining room. Derek, we are seeing this scene from your perspective, but even beyond your eyes, deeper and deeper and deeper, there's something just crawling at the base of your neck, a feeling, an entity, something that has been there. You've felt it kind of like nagging, tugging at your senses every now and then, that thing that maybe steps outside of you and watches you while you sleep. but it is now present, and it is seeing this scene through the same eyes that you are, and you feel not only like it is there, and you know it, and it is next to you, but it is with you, and you are it. Derek, as this entity is consuming itself and is consumed by this just undulating swarm of rats, you feel yourself just this thing, yourself and this thing just kind of shiver with a untold pleasure as this wail of agony cries out from this aberration, and it runs down your spine, and you just hear a whisper right behind your ear, or maybe inside of your skull, and it says, "Yes, yes, the agony, the beautiful agony." And you're invigorated a little bit as this thing consumes itself. And as the argument with Strahd happens, you're like still remembering the lingering echoes of that moment, of that memory in the dining room. And after you have this argument with Strahd, says like, "You're all selfish. It'll be a pleasure to watch you die because you cannot give of yourselves to save the world that you live in." He cuts off the psychic connection, and now there's just deafening silence throughout the manor. Can you see the map, the full house map? Is that up for you right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, there's just kind of a full vacuum of senses. I would like everybody to give me at this moment a perception roll.
Hey, look at those rolls, though. Those are two nat 20s.
Right?
Perception.
You ruined it, but it's still a good roll.
Still, yeah.
A good roll.
Derek, you are... Oh, yeah. That's a... Jesus Christ. That's a 19. Even with just rolling a 9. Okay. So...
level 10, baby.
As, like, the kind of psychic kind of... echoes off into this deafening silence and vacuum. It lingers for a moment, and then all of a sudden you hear heavy footfall rushing towards you from basically both directions, up to the north in the hallway and also off to the east down the other hallway.
It feels like it sounds like it's coming towards us.
Yep. Rushing towards you at a rapid pace.
I'll cover this door, and I'll just kind of like point my crossbow at one of the doorways and ready a shot.
Cool. Perhaps we should fall back into the dining room so that we will only have to cover one door altogether.
Sounds good to me, and I'll just back right up.
But then we might get... What if we get trapped in there, though? I mean, yeah, we can, but...
As you're debating this and you start to head back through the door, Theodora, with your eyes on the hallway to the north around the corner, you see one of those hounds, now maybe even seemingly larger than it was before, just bound around the corner. It kind of hits the wall and its claws sink into the wall, and for a moment it is just perched on the corner of the hallway, and then it leaps off of the wall and starts running down the hallway towards you. As you back in, also, Garl, Derek, you see the same thing coming from the east, another one of these hounds just moving rapidly towards you.
Does it look angry?
They look angry and hungry, saliva just trailing off of its maw as it runs towards you.
The poochies have gone rabid.
I'm gonna pull a little fleece out of my hat, wave in the air, and I'm gonna do minor illusion of a sound in that eastern hallway. It's like over here. Just as like a basic sound of like a scream. Ooh, and that's a 16 save too. 16 intelligence save.
All right.
Can I assist that with another minor illusion? Maybe like a laugh
after the scream.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
These two things seem intent in their pursuit, but as this scream rings out in the hallway, followed by a laugh, you see both hounds kind of shook in their intent, and one of them stops cold in its tracks and begins to kind of investigate the area that it is in, and the other one kind of perches at the edge of the hallway, watching the other for its to see what it is going to do. Everybody give me another perception check.
It's a 27 for Derek.
It's a 13 for Garl.
13 for Theodora.
You got an 18.
18.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh,
great. 18 for Theodora.
Derek, you hear glass shatter, seemingly somewhere across the household. Theodora and Derek, you hear something rushing up to one of the windows in the dining room just behind you across the table, and you see another one of these large beasts hurling itself towards the kind of large stained glass window into the dining room.
The western window. I'm going to try, like, kind of like kick one or two of these chairs into the doorway just to make it a little harder to pass, make the terrain a little bit more difficult, as it were.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to jump up on the table and get ready to deal with the wolfy boy coming through the window.
Fantastic. We've barricaded the door. Derek is on the table. Garl, Theodora, what are we doing just before this thing breaks through the window?
Are you guys ready to make a run for it? Because I might have some that can maybe slow the one that's out behind us out so we can maybe try to get out of here. I can try to freeze that thing that's out there. I got a little bit of... Pull out of my bag. Just a straight piece of iron. It's like a little piece. I might have a way to stop it. So if I can hold it for a second, we can just book it down that north hallway.
I don't think we're getting out of this fight. I think these things will pursue us doggedly until we are forced into a conflict. So I think it's an excellent idea to freeze one if you can, and then to kill it before it thaws.
While we are discussing this, I'm sort of like the door that we came in. I swing around and back up to the wall next to it, so I'm facing the window where the one is pressing up against, and I'm just going to ready a crossbow shot for when it busts through.
Awesome. Also, while you are discussing it, it is going to bust through the window. There's not much time for discussion when a werewolf is running at you full speed. everybody roll initiative.
Woo!
Hey, guess what? It's initiated time.
Man, what a great song.
We have Garl up first. Garl, what are you doing as this thing, let's say it's just bursting right through the window. It's like the glass shatters as this enormous bestial form breaks through, its fur bristling, its huge, enormous fangs snarling as it roars. And it is coming in. What are you doing?
So my fear, I kind of forget how the spell is supposed to work, and so I chuck the piece of iron at it and just saying, sit, to do hold monster on it. It's a 16 wisdom save.
This thing, as you chuck this piece of iron, it strikes the beast, and you just see it, like, almost like a cartoon, freeze in place, its body rigid, as it then falls to the ground stiff.
Awesome. I think it worked, and that's gonna, I'm just gonna stay where I am.
Theodora.
I want to set my hunter's mark on it first, and then I want to shoot it after. That's disadvantage.
It's a large beast, so no.
Oh great. 14.
14 hits.
9 damage, 4 for hunter's mark, and then as soon as I see it goes, I'm pulling another one to shoot again. 13?
13 does not hit.
I don't have it in my heart to hurt an animal, unless it's for food.
We will move to Derek.
I'm going to attack the shit out of it.
Yeah, so it's going to be a crit.
Here come some crits. Offhand. Dirty 20.
Hits.
6 points of damage. Another dirty 20. for the primary hand. That's going to be 11 points of damage plus a little sneak attack for you. Another 6 points of damage. So those are crits.
Yeah, because it's paralyzed. Any attack that hits a creature is a critical hit. Right. Attackers within 5 feet of the creature.
Okay, well that's...
Oh my gosh, 2 ones. Okay, but hey.
2 ones. Yeah, not great. But 7... 16 plus 7 is 25 plus 11 is 36 points of damage.
Whoa. 36 two. Points all day. Beautiful.
Yeah. And then we're going to get the extra attack in there for shots and giggles. 29.
29 hits.
18 points of damage.
This thing is not looking great. It seems your first attack with your on-hand weapon did not seem to do full damage against it.
Right.
But it is looking ragged as it just... you can see blood running from the gashes that you've all made in it, but it still seems just frozen and cannot move. Maybe just a painful shiver and a whine comes from it as it lays there bleeding and stiff.
I say, I'm going to put you down, boy. And I say, but I yell out, the creatures seem to be inured to non-magical attacks. So, if you have magic, use it.
All of a sudden, Garl, Theodora, you feel the door behind you begin to just shake furiously as seemingly the two beasts outside are starting to attack it. It is beginning to splinter. The door and the small amount of reinforcement that you did is holding up, but probably by next turn, it will be fully destroyed.
Oh, look across the doorway at Garl like, whoa.
All right, we are at top of the initiative with Garl.
Oh, did it roll to save? At the end of its turn, it can roll a wisdom save again.
Oh, yes. Wisdom save.
It fails.
It fails.
Yes. So she'll just... I don't know why I'm making... This is only vocal, but I'm making like... I'm acting out, guys. So just imagine in your heads as you're listening to this, me just like acting out what the creature's doing. Anyways, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold and... I'm going to wait to see if they do bust through. I'm going to recast the monster with the first one that does. And so I'm going to hold my action... If one breaks through, to cast hold monster on the one that comes through.
Cool. So you're going to ready hold action if one breaks through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And stick on Beautiful. My foot too. So if that fails, it's going to trip. If I can do that as well.
Nice.
Wonderful. Theodora, what are we doing?
I'm going to try to get another shot in at this boy who came in through the window. That's a 20 to hit.
20 will hit.
Great. So since Derek is next to him, I'm going to roll 2d6 for Hunter's Mark and Sneak Attack. Oh, I need to roll the damage.
Nice.
That's great. 9 plus 6, and then he is below his hit point maximum. So we'll roll a d8 for Colossus Slayer.
Theodora, tell me what happens.
Derek is dancing around him, and as soon as Derek gets off to one side, I get my crossbow right under his armpit, and I hit a major artery. Blood just starts gushing out, and then he falls.
As the last vestiges of its life kind of like surge through the wolf rage rushes through as it's holding on for dear life, you see it break hold monster for one moment as it like reaches out its claw to like grab at Derek, and then a piece of the shattered window above it breaks off, falls through, severing its neck as well. You have another attack.
Are there any other boys that I can see?
There's probably in a Here's Johnny style of way, you can see one of the wolves just gouging chunks out of the door right behind you.
Cool. Then I'm going to try to get I guess it would be a disadvantage since I'm right next to him. Because I think I'm just sort of reacting, you know, that he is right next to me instead of.
Yeah, sounds good. And he's, you know.
If I could see it, would my spell go off then? If we can see it through the door, because I set a visual on it, so would that mean.
If you want to cast it on.
Yeah.
The creature through the door, you can.
Yeah, so I will.
Let's just do this shot first, though.
Okay, let me take my shot, and then I have a movement I want to make. That's 23 to hit.
23 will hit.
10 piercing, and beautiful. Then I'm going to book it, and I want to like do a little slide under this table and hide as my bonus action.
Fantastic. Garl, you can activate your action if you like.
Yep, so yep, just going to pull out another piece of iron to kind of just thwap at it, whatever part of its claw I can see. Just hit it with it, just like, bam! 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 Cast hold person on it, or hold monster on it.
For a 7, all of a sudden, as this thing is one claw just slashing through the heavy wood of the door, you see its wild eyes, like, looking through. As it is frozen once again in place. The other one is still madly clawing at the door. You can take a movement now if you like, Garl, as well. Ooh.
I'm just going to, I'm going to say the doors. I'm digging the under the table, so I'm going to kind of sneak under the table over here if I can. It's not going to be as smooth as the door as they did it, but I'm going to try to, you know, just land there pretty cool myself too. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Derek, all of a sudden, in the same way, in a very similar way to how these wolves have just been going solid, everything around you seems to freeze in place. A chill runs through the room, and almost every bit of light kind of moves into a negative. Every bit of darkness is now like incredibly illuminated, and every bit of light is now just shadow. And though you can see your companions, you can see the body of this wolf and the wolves outside the door, you feel alone. And then you feel that presence once again. That presence that's been watching you at night, and you feel something watching you from over your shoulder.
Without turning, I'm just going to try and reach out to it psychically with my awakened mind feature and say, who are you? Are you a passenger in my psyche? What are you?
As you touch this thing psychically, take 8 points of psychic damage.
Hijo de la madre.
And then, even though it's pain, it feels like incredible pleasure running through your body as your life is just sapped out of you and into this being. And you hear a voice inside you, behind you, all around you, and it says, he is trying to kill you, Derek. He wants you and your companions dead, and the only way to stop that is to kill him first, and we will help you, Derek. We will help you kill the intruder, the usurper, the Dark King Strahd.
Well, I don't feel as though I am in a position to refuse any help. Perhaps if you want to help me kill this Strahd, you could start by not doing so much psychic damage to me when we communicate. But my circumstances being what they are, I will say yes. Let us strike a deal and work together to save my friends and myself.
Blood, pain, lack of eye. This is what drives us. It is what drives you. Embrace the agony, and it will lead to your immortality.
Right, that is creepy. Let's focus on not dying now, and we can discuss immortality later. And with that, I'm going to leap back over the table and start a stab, stabby stabberoo.
Wonderful. As you begin to move from the shadow, maybe a lantern that is lit on the wall that is now giving off just like undulating and reverberating shadow, a wicked barbed chain shoots out towards you and catches you on your calf, gouging deep into beyond the leather and into your flesh. You begin to bleed profusely down your boot and onto the floor, and it just looks thick with the cold as it runs down. Another from across the dining hall shoots out and grabs and gouges into your neck, and you gurgle blood that begins to dribble down your lips and down your chin and begins to coat your neck and collar. And then you feel the tug as these two chains rip back into the shadow and your body is rent in two. You take 35 points of damage and then snap. You are back in time. Your body is once again whole. The pain is still there, incredible, but there's just that little feeling. Oh, it felt so good just to be ripped directly in half. You now have 43 temporary hit points.
Oh.
So go back to your whatever you had plus 43 temporary hit points.
Excellent.
Under the table to Garl, I'm like, do you hear Derek moaning during this fight?
I think he really, really likes fighting, I think. I mean, some people really just really enjoy it, I guess.
He better not be making no deals with the devil up there, I tell you what.
It's still top of your turn, so you now leap over the table. What are you going to do?
Invigorated and, you know, by both the temporary hit points and the discovery of a new kink, apparently, I'm going to stab quickly through the rent in the door at the held monster out there.
Beautiful. Attack with advantage.
24. Ooh, lucky for the advantage that time. 26. And then for the extra attack, another 26. So
fantastic. Give me all that damage.
All that damage. Here it comes.
The true crit.
The true crit. It's going to be 15 on the first attack.
Halved.
All right. 7. 15 on the second attack. Not halved. So another 12, and then one more, pume, 8, 15 again. So 49 points of damage all day.
This thing is not looking great.
And then I will dance back and say, who let the dogs out?
Very funny.
Thank you.
As you say, who let the dogs out, you hear a cry of anguish kind of reverberate through the house.
No, my precious pets.
Ah. and just a general air of malice seems to fill the house. The unfrozen wolf busts through the door, enraged, wild eyes. It sees its dead companion across the table, and for a moment there's a bit of sorrow in its eyes, and then with its invigorated rage, it turns its ire towards Derek and makes a second claw attack against you.
Real quick, I'm going to use one of my superiority dice to use a feature called Brace, which is when a creature you can see moves into the reach you have with the melee weapon you're wielding. You can use your reaction to expend one superiority die and make one attack against the creature.
Fantastic.
So here comes that really quickly. That's a 15 to hit.
15 hits.
For 12 points of damage, we're going to add the superiority die for another 3 points of damage and also some sneak attack. Because that wolfy boy probably wasn't expecting that. For another 6 points, so that's going to be 21 points of damage.
Fantastic. You very quickly, give it a few slashes as it reaches towards you with a vicious claw attack. Will a 17 hit?
A 17 will not hit.
As it takes that claw attack, it comes back with jaws wide open and fearsome fangs to bite you. For a 12. A 12, I imagine, also will not hit. No. Derek, though, you hear from probably the breaking glass down on the other side of the house, now running full force towards the door, is another one of these beasts. And it begins to kind of scramble around its friend who's frozen and blocking the door.
Is this one is snapping and snarling and trying to claw me and bite me. I look over my shoulder quickly at the dead one and I say, "Oh, was that your litter mate? Now he's just litter, mate."
Great. Quality. Top of the initiative, we go to Gar.
So I'm just going to poke my head out at the one that Eric Blackass fighting and just be like, "Come on, settle down, Sparky, settle down." Casting Vicious Mockery on it. 16 Wisdom save.
All right. Fails.
So it takes 4 points of psychic damage and has disadvantage on its next turn.
That's the one in front of Derek? Yeah. Describe to me how the psychic damage kills this beast.
Will. So I say these words and I expect it to kill it, but say, "Settle down, Sparky, just sit down." And then just slowly, I guess, as a psychic, like its ears just start bleeding. It tries to go to pot, it tries to stop, it tries to stop to bleed, but it keeps just flowing out. It's like brain matter starts to like leak out of its earlobes.
Oh yeah.
It just hopelessly claws and claws until it just falls to its knees and slowly just...
It gives an agonized howl. As this psychic agony rips through its mind, and as you said, it's clawing at its ears, and you just see its brains leaking out along with blood as it falls to its knees and dies.
From under the table, I say solemnly, "Who let the dogs out?"
Another, "Who let the dogs out?" Garl, any movement, anything else?
Just gonna kind of slap under the table.
Theodora.
I'm gonna hit the frozen one.
Love it.
And with my crossbow. Or rather, okay, do I have a shot on the other one?
Yeah, you can take a shot on the other one.
Okay, I'm gonna do that then. Because I think I have advantage since he can't see me, right? Since I have hidden.
Give me a stealth check.
Oh, not my best.
No, it is a fully, it has great hearing, great smell. It knows that you are under that table right now.
Cool. Were you going to say it's a fully it a werewolf?
I'll laugh at that one.
All right.
No half werewolves here. What a half world we even be like.
I'm gonna go for the frozen one. Will a 16 hit?
16 will hit, yes.
That's for piercing. It is below its hit point maximum, correct?
It is certainly below its hit point maximum.
Then I will do another 7 for Colossus Slayer, and then I will try to hit it again. Will 21 hit?
Of course a 21 will hit.
That's 11 more.
Theodora, once again, the frozen beast, like target practice. You just pepper these things with heavy bolts, and the kind of hold beast fails as its just constitution and wisdom sinks away from it, and for a moment it is frozen. You see the life begin to fade from its eyes, and then as the spell releases it, it falls down to the ground dead.
Hey, thanks, Carl. Thanks for keeping them still. A lot easier to hit them.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta get a pretty big leash for these dogs. You know, gotta bring these things in.
I guess I would I would like to hide again, just like crawl further under the table and see if I can hide from this other one.
Certainly.
I will roll stuff. 18.
All of a sudden, this malice, this ire that is in the room feels like it's beginning to manifest. We move down to Derek.
I will flash up into the doorway and attack the remaining werewolf. First, with an exploratory stab with my offhand for a natural flipping one. That is unfortunate.
That will not hit, unfortunately.
That's even with a +9 to hit, a 1's not going to do it. Followed up with a, that was just a feint. And for a 17 to hit, 13 points plus some rakish audacity, that's going to be 24 points of damage on that attack. And then for shits and giggles, seeing the success of that second attack, I'm going to just rinse and repeat for another 12 points of damage. 36 points of damage all day, and then the old dance back. Maybe I'll go up on top of the table for multi-tiered combat.
This thing now leaps over its fallen companions, and Derek, as you slashed at it, it is coming towards you.
I'm going to brace it again.
Wonderful.
A dirty 20 to hit.
Hits.
For 12 plus... for 20 points of damage.
20 points of damage. This thing is bloody. It is just almost mindless now in its rage. It is going to take a claw attack against you. 16 misses. Another claw attack against you. 17 misses. And finally, a bite attack against you. 18.
That's a hit.
18 hits. Wonderful. You are caught in its jaws for 4 damage, and I need you to give me a constitution saving throw.
Yowza. Is it 4 points of damage?
4 points of damage.
Yes. And a constitution saving throw. Not my best. 16?
All right. Yeah, you feel the teeth sink into maybe your arm as you go up to block this attack, and it just seems to rip through the leather a bit and pull some blood. But its jaw doesn't seem to be, you know, fully in it. The weakness kind of taking over its body as it is just leaking blood all over the floor. The malice and rage in the room coalesces into one spot, and anybody in the room, you see Strahd just immediately manifest behind you, right in front of the shattered stained glass window, and you hear a click of this device as he points it directly at Derek Lackeye. All right, we got back into the nightmare with some fast-paced combat and a truly disturbing turn for Derek Lackeye. Who knows what this future holds, if there even is a future beyond this. For Cast Eye, though, there is a future. True Crit Undead Nightmare has a number of episodes left before its thrilling conclusion. Everyday Folk will get back into the rotation regularly, as well as our Cast Die, Chat Die podcast, Table Talk, whatever we call it. We've got a fun episode coming up featuring Dom. This is the opposite of the Fuck Dom podcast. So I hope that announcement that comes out in that episode is very exciting for you as well, because another new show will be coming into rotation. But for now, we will have to wait until the next episode of True Crit Undead Nightmare. And until then, see you in your dark dreams.